Good evening. In Titus chapter 1, verse 9, it says, holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to reprove those who contradict. And then in Titus chapter 1, verse 16, they profess to know God, but by their works they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and unfit for any good work. There are two things these verses show us. There are people who contradict God's word, and contradiction is not only something done by false teaching, but also by ungodly living. A man may say, I believe the Bible, and yet contradict it by the way he speaks, thinks, worships, or lives. Are we ever contradicting the Bible? And that's the question we need to answer tonight. And so the first point here, to contradict the Bible is to oppose God's truth. The Bible is not merely a religious book among many books. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be equipped, having been thoroughly equipped for every good work. Paul here to Timothy tells him, scripture is God-breathed. To reject it is to reject God himself in the very words that he gives us. To contradict is to contradict the one who gave it. When we go back to places like Samuel was upset with the people because he thought they were rejecting him, denying him, but God told him, no, they're rejecting me. In John chapter 12, verse 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him on the last day. This means the Bible is not optional. It's not a suggestion box from heaven. It is the standard by which mankind will be judged. The very books that we have in our hands, the very books we have in the pews, are the very words that we will be judged by. If God has spoken, then his word must govern our faith and practice. It should govern our entire life, all of us, every part of it, every area in our life. We should practice what these words tell us. Whenever a man says, I know what the Bible says, but I think, he is in a dangerous territory. And sadly, we have many who believe those words. Whenever a church says the culture has changed, so we must change the message. It is contradicting the Bible, no longer the church. Once again, these are the ideas, the mindsets that many have today. They reject the word of God. They oppose it, not just, once again, by living, but simply rejecting the idea that this is the word of God, the inspired word of God. And so, too, people can contradict the Bible with their words. One obvious way people contradict the Bible is by teaching false doctrine. As we read Titus chapter 1, verse 9 earlier, holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to reprove those who contradict. But we notice in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, as Paul writes to the Galatians, for even if we or an angel from heaven should proclaim to you a gospel contrary to the gospel we have proclaimed to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is proclaiming to you a gospel contrary to what you received, let him be accursed. Notice here that Paul did not say it does not matter as long as a person is sincere. All religious messages are close enough. Long statement, but Paul never said that within these texts. He said that if anyone preaches a gospel contrary to the truth, that man stands under a curse. he stands under a curse. That tells us something important. Contradiction in doctrine matters. We know people today, they contradict the truth. They deny what is plainly taught or taught about salvation, the church, worship, morality, marriage, repentance, baptism, holiness, and the authority of Christ. We have a lot of false teachers out there going against these teachings and leading millions to hell. And it is a huge problem in our society. Some will say one church is as good as another. Well, Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." Once again, the church is Christ, not man, not man's church. It is Christ's church. And so whose words should govern the church? His words. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased by his own blood." Here the elders are commanded to watch, to guard over the flock, not to allow any false doctrine, any nonsense to enter into the church. Ephesians 1, 22, "And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church." Which again, Paul to the Ephesians, the church is under his authority, not man's. And then Mark 16, 16, "He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." Baptism is essential for salvation, and so many teach against it. But in other verses, of course, Acts 2:38, 22, 15, and 16, and Galatians 3:27, 1 Peter 3:21, we have so many. So much of the gospel teaches that this is what obeying the gospel looks like. Yes, belief is important. It's vital. If you don't believe, there's nothing more we can do. So we must not be ashamed to say that when men teach against the Bible, they are wrong. This is not arrogance. It is submission to God. You have the crowds that will say, "Well, you're not to judge me." Well, they'll say this, and I find it, it's terrifying. "You can't judge me. Only God can." Well, that should scare you. That should make you fearful of what is to come. And yes, we are to judge righteously, according to his word. But when someone needs to be dealt with, we are to deal with them in a gentle, loving manner, but correct them, rebuke them. We see Paul on many occasions rebuking the churches. He's rebuked Peter himself at one point. So we see Paul carries this out, and all the apostles would have. They would have spoken out. Going back to the Old Testament, one of the most famous incidents that happened was Elijah with the prophets of Baal. How did he deal with them? He mocked them while they were dancing around, while they were calling upon their gods. And then we see the true God answers Elijah and consumes both sacrifices. And Elijah would command the people to take them down to the riverside and slaughter them. And so we see false teaching is dealt with in a serious manner. Third, people can contradict the Bible with their lives. Not just by their words, but by their lives. Not all contradictions are doctrinal. Some people profess truth, but live in error. Titus chapter 1, verse 16, "They profess to know God, but by their works they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and unfit for any good work." And then notice in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, "Now why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" And this is where a lot of people forget that there are other ways to contradict. It's not just by what you teach, but how you live. Once again, if we profess to be Christians, to be disciples, and yet we're going and participating in sinful activities of the world, that is contradiction. We are contradicting the Word of God. These are the very same people that proclaim to believe in the Bible, yet contradict it in every way in an ungodly conduct, ungodly manner. And of course, in Luke 6:46, this is one of the clearest rebukes in all the Bible. It is possible to say the right words and still live in rebellion. And people do it every day, even Christians, those who sit in pews every Sunday evening, and Wednesday nights. There are Christians who contradict through their living. Consider how people contradict the Bible in daily life. A Christian says they believe in purity, but fills his mind with lust. A Christian says they trust in God, but lives in constant worldly fear and compromise. A Christian says he loves the brethren, but sows bitterness, division, and gossip. A Christian says Christ is first, but gives him leftovers in time, attention, worship, and service. These are excuses. These are people who obviously don't understand what a true disciple, what a true Christian's all about. Now, we're not going to be perfect, no. There are times that we may give him leftovers. Well, we need to repent. We need to do better. There are going to be times that, of course, men and women fall into lust. We need to repent and keep moving. There are times that we may even sow bitterness or gossip. One of my favorite Andy Griffith episodes, Andy gets on to Aunt Bee for gossiping. Well, guess what her and her friend decide to do? They trick him into believing this man from New York, a shoe salesman, is a TV producer. And the men are gossiping, the men are going around. And boy, at the end, Aunt Bee and her friend standing by as Andy looks at him through all the gossip. So men and women can do it. But giving him leftovers in time, attention, worship, and even service. James 1:22, our main text says, "But become doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves." We are called to be doers, not just hearers. Hearers forget. It's like a natural man who looks at himself in the mirror and goes away and forgets what he looks like. We have the same problems that the Israelites have. The Israelites would forget. They would not teach the future generations. We do the same thing in our society today. A hearer-only religion is self-deception. It is not enough to know verses, attend assemblies, or speak religious language. There must be commitment. There must be devotion to knowing and truly knowing Christ and to do what he has commanded us. And that means we will have to sacrifice time. We're going to have to sacrifice hobbies. We may even have to sacrifice our lives for Christ. But that's what we are commanded to do. 4, contradicting the Bible often begins by questioning God's word. This problem goes all the way back to the beginning in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which Yahweh God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?'" Here in this very chapter is where rebellion starts. It starts when man begins to question, soften, or evade what God has clearly spoken. Guess what? Satan still works the same way today. He does not always begin with open denial. Once men start loosening their hold on divine truth, they begin slipping into contradiction. And I've seen it in action plenty of times. Men loosening, men questioning God's divine truth. And it always ends with them walking away from the faith. That is why we must have deep respect for the word of God. You know, when we look at the Israelites, when they disobeyed God, it was destruction. It was ruin. It was captivity, death. Yeah, God may not strike us down today, but there's something coming that's far worse. And that's eternal death, spiritual death. Something that no man, no woman should want to go through. In Psalm 119, 110, the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not wandered from your precepts. The Bible is not partly true. It is not true only when it agrees with modern opinion. The Bible is more relevant today than any book you can imagine. We need to understand, we need to have a deep respect for the Word of God. We need to look and do, not look and forget. Because when we do, that's when we see ourselves compromising, contradicting, and falling away. And finally, contradicting the Bible leads to spiritual ruin. False doctrine and false living are not harmless. Matthew 15, 14, let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. If a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit. I don't know if many of you remember the greatest night in rock. Do anybody remember what? Okay. So, you know, Michael Jackson, all the big superstars, even country stars, got together and sung the song, I cannot remember. We just watched a documentary on it. We Are the World, thank you. Most popular song, I can't remember it. But they were all sitting around taking a break, and Stevie Wonder and another musician who are both blind, Stevie Wonder got him and said, I'll take you to the bathroom, and they were all making jokes. The blind leading the blind. You had the Pharisees who were leading people blindly. Those people were blind, and so were the Pharisees spiritually. This is the danger of departing from Scripture. Error never elevates, sanctifies, or saves. We have error that's taught. We have all kinds of denominations around who are teaching. There's a TV evangelist. He came to Huntington, West Virginia one night. I got invited to go, but I didn't want to. I knew who he was. But he was the same guy that got on and said, I need a fourth private jet. I need money for it so I can go around the world faster. It's one of the new jets, millions of dollars, may I add. And sadly enough, he got the money. Many people who proclaimed to be Christians sent him money. But prosperity gospel, faith alone, once saved, always saved, amongst many other false doctrines are leading people into a pit of misery, and it will be eternal misery, eternal torment. Paul warned once again the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, verses 29 through 30. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among you, your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them. Notice this. Contradiction to the truth can rise from outside the church and from inside the church. I've seen it happen. There used to be a faithful congregation in Kanawha City, and now they're not. Because one elder from within started teaching false doctrine and sadly led people astray. And now they are no longer a faithful congregation. It happens from outside, and it happens from within. We must have men, and we must have women who can tell when false doctrine is being taught, and being able to stand up in a moment's notice and speaking against it and rebuking. But do we have that knowledge? Once again, it goes back to, are we remaining faithful to His Word? Are we contradicting it by the way we live, by our service, by what he has called us to do? Do we know his word? Sometimes the greatest danger is not from open unbelievers, but from those who claim to be brethren while twisting scriptures. Once again, over time, hearts began to harden. In Jude, verse 3, "Beloved, while I was making every effort to write about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, exhorting that you contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all handed down to the saints." Notice, contend earnestly for the faith. The faith was once for all handed down. It does not need revision. It needs proclamation. It does not need modernization. It needs obedience. This very book that we have in our hands, the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, is perfect in every way. It does not need revised. When man puts their greedy hands into something, it always ruins. It's always twisted. It's always wrong. Bad things happen. And so, do we contradict the Bible? Do you contradict the Bible? Once again, by your word, by your living, do you believe in false doctrine? Have you taught false doctrine? All these questions we need to answer tonight. And understand, if you're not a Christian, tonight you need to make your life full with Christ. You need to come forward and believe and obey. And this is how you believe and obey the gospel. You must hear the word, Romans 10, 17. Believe the word, Mark 16, 15 and 16. And then repent of your sins, which means change. There must be change in your life. And then you must confess your faith in Christ, Romans 9, 10 and 9. 10, 9 and 10, excuse me. Confessing Christ, not being ashamed of him. But it doesn't stop there. You must be immersed for the forgiveness of your sins. Acts 2, 38, Acts 22, 15 and 16. Galatians 3, 27, and so on. But it doesn't stop there. You must remain faithful. And that means remain faithful in his word. Take his word as God's inspired word and do it, live it the rest of your life. Or if you were a Christian, you have been pulled astray by sin, by false doctrine, by whatever it may be. Tonight's the night to come forward and to be restored to God, to restore your life, to be reconciled. And allow us as the church to do that, to help you, to assist you in any way. So if you need any assistance tonight, come while we stand and while we sing.